The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode is brought to you by Libsyn. Planning to start a podcast? Look no further than Libsyn. Libsyn is one of the biggest feature-rich podcast hosting platforms in the world. Libsyn is IAB certified, offers many hosting plans, and you can start for as low as $5 a month. Aspiring podcasters who listen to the show radio can get 1 month free by using the promo code TSR. Use promo code TSR at checkout to get 1 month free. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. This is episode 591. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, it's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the places you can find shows. We are there. And thank you for listening. We really, really do appreciate it. Daniela, how are you?
I'm a year older.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah, it was a good one.
Yeah.
Although I was totally tricked. I went into work for half a day because my boss said she didn't bring me a cake. And you know, all my gaming years and experience, I should have known better. That cake was a lie.
The cake was a lie?
Yes, there was no cake. Oh, it was a trick. It was a trick. No, but to be honest, she forgot. But like, it's like, okay, well, I'm going home half day then. Forget this. Going home. And today I posted an image of the cake. It says the cake is a lie. Put it on her door. Took her a little bit to notice I put it there. She saw it. She's like, I didn't mean to. And she like, I don't know where she grabbed it from because I don't make it today. But she came with this big container of coconut rice pudding. She's like, so-and-so made this. I took it from them. This is yours now. The pudding is real.
Okay.
It was really good, though. It was really, really good. But somebody's missing their coconut rice pudding somewhere at work. Now it's mine. And I ate it.
That's dope.
But yeah, it was good. I relaxed. I came home from my half day of work, took a nap. My boyfriend and I cleaned my house because majority of the time, that's kind of what I want for my present. Just like clean the house so I don't have to. And it was a good day. It was a good day. And let's see, we watched Black Widow last night, finally.
Okay. What'd you think?
And okay. It's okay. I just feel like they should have had the Black Widow movie. Well, I hope people already watched and it's all caught up with the Marvel series here. I feel like it just should have been there before she died. I don't know. I just, it was good. Like the action was there.
Okay.
And they had its funny moments. The story was okay. There's some of the action scenes was like a little bit like, what? Like, okay. I mean, I know you're superheroes and I know it's not supposed to make, you know, sense.
Yeah, they're superheroes.
But it's not like she is a superhuman. She's just this really well-trained and conditioned assassin. She's still human. It's not like she has regenerative properties.
Well, yeah.
Lies and all this other stuff.
But a
like,
superhero.
There's certain things where you're just like, okay, sure, you should be like limping with some broken bones in there somewhere. And there's like a scene in there, you're falling out of the sky, and like the physics in it, I'm like, there's just no.
Then you watch the latest Fast and Furious then.
You don't. Okay, well, I just don't watch Fast and Furious, period.
Then you don't want to
like,
watch
there's
that.
Just, like, there's certain things where I'm like, I know you're fighting as you're falling out of the sky. That just automatically doesn't make sense. I accept it already. Well, there's, I accept it. Like, you could at least make this one portion make a little bit more sense and be a little tiny bit realistic, but That's not even the point. I mean, I still enjoyed it. Was it worth spending $30 on Disney Plus? Well, it was better than me paying to go and see it in the movie theater.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Because between two people, three people, how much would you have paid?
More than $30 with the snacks and all that is wonderful things.
Yeah.
So it was okay for that. I don't know if I would want to watch it anytime soon again.
How come?
It was kind of like watching like the second Iron Man, which was a good movie, but you know, I can watch it once and then maybe I'll see it again in like a year. Like I can wait until it's free on Disney Plus again to watch it again.
So do you think you could have done without it? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I probably could have. I probably could have just like let it go and not spend the $30 and just waited until it was like free to stream.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm like dissing the movie so bad. I mean, it was a good movie, but it just wasn't on par in my enjoyment levels as like the other Marvel movies, to be honest.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. So what did you think about Suicide Squad? What did you think about that?
Oh, that one, I will go back and watch it again, like immediately after. So that one, we made a family movie.
Okay.
my son and his girlfriend were not interested in watching Black Widow. Of course, the only time I did call him is because, like I mentioned, like a couple episodes ago, my cousin Malia J, she had her song, her cover of Smells Like Teen Spirit in there. So obviously that's the only time I called my son and it's like, you gotta listen to her. And then go. And honestly, that really was kind of the best part of the movie for me. Like the opening part. Okay. I would say maybe the first 20 minutes of the movie really, really got me interested, but it started to die out after that. Like the way it started was like, whoa, this is an interesting story. And then even if it didn't have, if it wasn't my cousin doing this cover, and it just had that song and somebody else doing that cover, it really kind of set this tone of what you thought you were going to be getting. And it kind of did, but like, I felt like that song and the scenes and the imagery that they were matching with it, like made it so much more interesting, the film. But I was like, oh, okay, not as impactful. So I love that part. And I actually cried because I'm just so proud and so happy for my cousin because she has some amazing, great songs and her music has been used in like TV shows. But to be a part of the Marvels, you know, series, the universe, to be there and people are going to be watching these movies for years to come. And that's always, her song is always going to be there. That is huge. Yeah. That is amazing.
That is pretty dope.
So I cried out of happiness for her for that. And just that part was really great. But once that like ended, my son was not interested in watching Black Widow whatsoever. Like he just did not interest him in the least bit. Neither did it interest his girlfriend. But over the weekend, we made a family movie to watch The Suicide Squad. Completely different universe over here. We're going to DC. And that was actually a lot of fun. Yes, it is R-rated. And within the first like 5 minutes of the film, you can totally know why. It was very fitting. And there's a lot of funny moments and characters that you get really attached to and you just love and like seeing on the screen. So that was fun. So immediately with that one, I could have just turned around and just rewatched it immediately right after. It was an enjoy. It was just, I wouldn't say it's family friendly, but you know, my son's older, so it's kind of okay. Don't watch it with kids under 13.
Yeah. Let's go with that. It's gruesome. It's visceral. It's definitely action packed. I was surprised. I didn't know what to expect, which was good going in to watch Suicide Squad, but I really enjoyed it.
You did? You watched it too?
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it.
I loved it. I loved King Shark.
Yeah.
And friend bird. Like Sylvester Stallone, you're trying your best here. I appreciate your effort.
Yeah, it was good. I think it was good for me to go in not really having any expectations, nothing good, nothing bad, just going in just to appreciate what was being shown. And I really enjoyed everything.
Yeah, it was fun. I wouldn't say that it is as unfamily friendly as Deadpool, though. Deadpool's definitely like, you get a really question.
Yeah, Deadpool's a little wilder.
That's a little bit. Yes, yeah. It is. But yeah, Suicide Squad was a lot of fun to watch. I loved it. Idris Elba was pretty awesome.
Isn't he in everything, though?
He pretty much is.
Yeah, like, he's one of my favorite actors right now.
He's getting around there.
Yeah.
I will say, which I was kind of pleasantly surprised, I normally don't like John Cena, but...
He was good,
and he was funny, and yeah. He had some lines in there, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. But yeah, he was a pleasant surprise for me to actually enjoy having him in a film. So that was good.
Yeah, I think by now when it comes to John Cena, we just have to respect the work that he's putting in for a lot of the roles now, because he really can hold his own. It's not like, yeah, you came from the wrestling world and you had some liners and wrestling and you're acting there to some degree. But I think he's come a long way.
He has, so I give him that. I can say I enjoyed it. Still not gonna watch no Fast Furious, though.
Yeah, okay. So if you watch that, if you end up watching that for some weird reason, because I know you're not trying to watch it, you want to talk about superheroes? Those guys are superheroes, okay? The things that they do in the movies now, it's just crazy. They're superheroes at this point.
Yeah, okay. Because their stuff is so outlandish and ridiculous.
Yeah, like the part where the chain attaches to the car and it swings. Well, they kind of show the end of the trailer, right? So that whole part, I was like, really? That's how you did that? Oh, man. Okay. You're a superhero. You have to be at that point. But they kind of show you... Well, yeah, I really can't go with that. But they give you a little history of how certain things came about. Let's just put it that way. And it made sense.
Okay.
So, yeah. So that's not saying anything because I know you're not going to watch it. All right. So next thing we got, I actually discovered this through a friend recently. And it's called Audius. It's a blockchain-based music streaming service. And they're actually going to be partnering up. Let me see what it says here. TikTok picks streaming service Audius to power new sounds library. Audius, a streaming platform based on the Ethereum and Solana blockchains, is partnering with TikTok on the video sharing app's new TikTok sounds library, which is pretty dope. So I wanted to throw that in there because, well, one of the reasons I really wanted to talk about this is because if you wanted to build your audio library of, let's say, a show that you had or a podcast or any type of different things like that, you can actually upload on that platform for free right now. So let's say you were starting out and you wanted to just have your show on the standard RSS feeds, but you wanted it somewhere else. You can actually upload it on this platform as well. Just create an account. You know, they ask you to follow like football just to kind of get your account set up, complete your profile information. Once you do that, you're able to upload a file to that platform. It goes all the way up to 320 kilobytes per second for the quality. But the thing is, when you upload to the your account, the only thing I don't like right now is the processing time for the file to finish, the metadata and all that stuff. Feels like it takes a while, you know, a couple of minutes, and a couple of minutes by like uploading standards at this point is a long. So mm-hmm. That part is a little lengthy, but outside of that, I was able to upload our podcast cover art. I was able to, you know, put in the description, rename the actual track. I did all that. Then you're able to set the mood if you want, if the mood of the show is easygoing or there's different moods that you can set for what you're uploading onto the particular platform. So I like it because
it's another way to distribute your content. It's not an RSS feed, you know, podcast per se, but if you had like, let's say 10 episodes, you can upload that to this platform. It'll be another distribution place for. So I thought that's pretty dope.
That's a very interesting thing to be getting into. I want to say noob. I know of it. I just don't dive into it when it's the blockchains and cryptocurrency.
Yeah. What's holding you back? Because you know, I've been like, I jump back in.
I know you've been jumping in there and like putting in all of those talks on Clubhouse, and you just went all in on that.
Yeah, I disappeared for like a couple of weeks. Yeah. I mean, it's good. I think the whole thing about it is there's so many different things that you could do. And I'll just say, you know, keep it as general as I can. And there's other places that you could put your money that could benefit you even more, you know, that kind of thing. And the fact that you're able to learn about the history of money and you know, fiat currency and stuff like that. I mean, there's a whole world there, and there's, you know, decentralized finance. You can jump into that and what that means. And so I think there's different pockets that you can play into. Or you can even do the developer side. I think there's, what was it, IGN, I think I saw earlier today, where they were offering a website that talked about becoming a blockchain developer and stuff like that. So you could be on a developer side, you could be on the investor side. And my thing is, I like the fact that you have all those options, because you could pick where you want to get in. And yeah, but I mean, you know, whenever you're ready, just let me know. We can talk about it.
It's just overwhelming. I'm still just trying to like wrap my head around and make smart investment choices the traditional way.
Right.
to jump in a whole other different type of investments and currency.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways that you can screw up too. It's
true.
Like, okay.
True. I think the general idea, like what I've seen, you know, talking to my investment group and chatting with them, is you always want to look for what the company is doing, what the company has done, and then what partnerships they have coming along, right? So So that seems to be a good foundational base to check things out. So for example, there's a stock, and of course it's not financial advice, right? So there's a stock called NSAV, and NSAV is actually coming out with the next major cryptocurrency exchange. There's Coinbase that's been out for a long time. So NSAV is actually going to compete with Coinbase. But the challenge is, depending on where you're trying to get the stock, this is a stock, depending on where you're trying to get the stock, you may not be able to get it, because if it's a penny stock, because the company is just starting out, certain platforms like TD Ameritrade, they won't let you purchase this particular stock. So you'd have to use something like Charles Schwab. So just for me to get in at a good position to buy a lot of shares for this particular stock, I had to create an account with TD Ameritrade, Charles Schwab, and then, you know, put money in Charles Schwab to get it. So if it blows up, great. If it doesn't, great. If it takes a while to blow up, right, that's fine too, right? But the thing is, I wouldn't be able to get an early position if I was waiting for TD Ameritrade to consider listing it, you know, at a later date, right? And I think it's the same thing that applies with cryptocurrency, right? You'll get a particular company and the share has a lot of zeros in it, you know, like a Doge, or, you know, things that people hear about all the time, mm-hmm. or maybe SafeMoon or whatever. And it'll have like four or five zeros. If you get in at four or five zeros and it shaves like two zeros, you're rich. You know what I'm saying? Like that's just how it works. It's so drastic. Like for example, there was this this guy this week. I was in a room and he had invested in a coin or whatever a while ago, and he kind of forgot about it, but it was still in his wallet. He woke up that day. This was this past week. True story. He woke up. That day, and he looked at his wallet and he had 90 grand just sitting there. That's how it happens.
That's crazy way to actually just wake up.
That's how he woke up that day. And of course, like with Clubhouse, you could PTR, pull to refresh. So he was like, yeah, this, I literally have 90 grand. And you know what? I'm not going to work today. Right. So that's how it could change overnight. Now, is that a small percentage? Sure. Is it, does the project had to have some major changes, partnerships, maybe forks, right? Different things like that for that change to happen? You know, absolutely. Right. It all depends. Right. Major festivals, major partnerships, major names or public figures talking about it, you know, and it catches fire. And you know, next thing you know, you have an extra 5 grand, 10 grand, 20 grand. It's not far fetched anymore in that particular world, which is why, the government, as you see, they're trying to put regulations around it because there's so much money that you can make if you invest in the top 100 projects. If we say, let's just say that the top 100 could get you money if you just hold it long term, right? And if it's a super promising project and it has a lot of zeros, you put in $100, $200 and it moves 1 to 2 zeros, you have more money than you've had in a while. That's how it happens. So yeah, it's fun. You can lose, but it's money that you're supposed to lose anyway, because it's not money that you're supposed to be paying your mortgage with, your rent with, and stuff like that. But so you'll lose some money, but you don't really lose until you sell, right? So if you sell the stuff, then you lose twice. So you lose the money, but you said you were willing to lose that, and then you sold it again. So you're losing twice. So I'm not in it to lose. So it's money that I'll put in and just watch it do whatever.
Hope we make it.
Oh, yeah. I hope you make it.
Too.
So yeah, the stocks for me, I just hold. I buy and hold. I don't typically sell. Because you have the capital gains, and then you have the other tax that you weigh 360 days, so you don't want to sell if you don't have to. So you grab shares early, you hold on to it, you watch the news, you buy in the red, right? Some people get scared because they think the red is bad. But if you're holding long term, every time it's red, that means you can buy the sale, right? You're buying it on sale. So you buy it in and then go from there. But anyway, that's I can talk about this for a long time.
Oh, really? I wouldn't have known.
Yeah. So we will go to the next thing. Okay, Sony completes 1 billion Crunchyroll buyout. I think we talked about this a while. Maybe mentioned this a while ago.
A little bit. I think we a little bit.
Yeah, so they finally completed. You have Crunchyroll, right?
Yes, I do.
You still love it, what it is?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So,
I'm kind of happy about this because, you know, Sony has talked about including it in their more expensive premium, I guess, subscription.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on what, like, how much this expensive is. But if I can have them as combined as a single subscription, I'm totally okay with that. Because right now I'm paying them, obviously, separately. So if I can just consolidate. I think I pay $8 for Crunchyroll.
Yeah.
I think that's what I'm paying for. And then I don't know what my subscription is. I pay the yearly one, whatever that price is. I can't remember. But yeah, if I can have that all in one, that'd be awesome.
Okay. So one more thing on the investing thing, and I'll leave it alone. One more thing. Okay. So if you guys are considering going into that world, I do have my crypto journal ever since I started back into the game, if you will, in May. So if you go to my website, andrew-lyons.com, that'll put you into the Discord. And then there's a section that says crypto journal, and you can have that. That's yours. So it's pretty much everything from the history of money to so financial literacy is the first thing, then cryptocurrency literacy is the next thing, all the way to mining. So I bookmarks, all my shares are in there. That's yours for free. Just jump into a Discord and you can grab that. Yeah, that's it. So yeah, Crunchyroll, I may have done a trial for it a while ago, but I never really invested in getting an anime streaming service.
There's a lot of free ones that are out there. There's nothing wrong with it. Okay. Kiss Anime, they have that. What else is there? I know there's a few. I'm kind of Let me.
Yeah, because I wasn't aware that there were free ones out there. I mean, I know you can watch different things if you want on YouTube for free, but I didn't realize that there were like services outside of Crunchyroll that that was decent enough to, you know, go in and check out.
I would say that Kiss Anime is probably like a pretty safe one. Okay. I mean, not like, not that they're learning anything like that, but like they have not so much clutter on their paper, like ads and weird cookie tracking. But I, if I like a service, I can get it ad free and I can get it on multiple screens even better, because several people in my household watches Crunchyroll, so I can set up different profiles, and I really, really like that. So I don't mind paying it. I think I've been subscribed to Crunchyroll for like, I want to say 5 years.
Okay.
And, you know, I use it. My son uses it. Now my son's girlfriend uses it. My son's slowly trying to get her into anime and, you know, starting her off with some, really, I guess, generic, like easy to jump into, not too overwhelming. So like Sword Art Online, they started watching and she's been enjoying it. I just watch a lot. So yeah. Kind of make sure I get my money's worth. But like, I mean, we have Hulu and we have Netflix and we have like HBO, which has, you know, it has anime on it, but not as big of a library. And majority of them are dubbed animes, which isn't bad. Okay, some of them have really terrible dubbed versions, like Naruto. No, I cannot. I just cannot with that series. But there's certain animes that if I get into it and I start off watching it subtitled, I get attached to the voice actors. So to switch to a dubbed version, it's like it's hard. Like you are not. Nope, I can't do it. But most of the services, they'll have the dubbed versions, but not the subbed versions, or they'll have both, but they don't have as much of the series as like Crunchyroll does.
Okay, so, gotcha.
That's where I'm at with it. With some new ones I watched, like I watched the latest super new Jujutsu Kaisen, which is really, really good. So we're looking for a new one. That's where I'm at. And I'm okay with this acquisition from Sony. And if I can consolidate it, like I said, and having just one subscription fee with my PlayStation Plus, I'm there.
Nice. I'm waiting for the thing. I think it's further down. Yeah, well, we can talk about that in a little bit. But actually, we can actually bring that up. Star Wars Vision, since we're talking about anime stuff. What'd you think about that?
I really like that. I don't know what it is with me and Star Wars. I like the Star Wars universe. I wouldn't say I'm like a super fan. I don't like, don't ever quiz me on those things, but I really do enjoy the Star Wars universe. But for whatever reason, their animated series, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It never really got to me, but I see this like Star Wars Visions, and I don't know if it's just because of the anime appeal, but I was like hyped watching it. I was like, yes, I want these stories.
Yeah. It was beautiful to watch. I was like, I couldn't even believe it was Star Wars when I was watching. I was like, wow. It was amazing. And even the screenshots when, because I took a couple of screenshots and put it on my Twitter and I was just looking at it. This is really, really good. So right? If it delivers once it comes out, I think everybody's going to be happy. And it's a collaboration of multiple studios, I think it said, right on the mm-hmm. trailer. So that should be fun. That should be fun to watch.
So I'm really looking forward to that. This is cool. I like it.
Yeah, I think
maybe that's what it took, just that anime touch to it for me.
Yeah, I think if it's done well from studios that have done amazing work, I don't think we're going to be disappointed. That seems to be the case here. So yeah, we should be excited for what.
I just added on to my backlog of things to watch.
Yeah, exactly. But it seems like things are picking up. Right, because we're August, things are picking up next week is Destiny stuff, the 24th, right? So getting excited about that. I don't know what it is about that game. It seems like every time I play it, it just gets better. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Looking for the best VPN in the world? Your search is over. From the makers of Proton Mail comes Proton VPN, the best free VPN in the world. Proton VPN is Swiss-based, has a no-locks policy, offers the highest strength encryption, strong VPN protocols, and all apps are open source and audited. To try Proton VPN for free, visit andrew-alliance.com/tools. Once again, that's andrew-alliance.com/tools.
It looks the same. I didn't see anything different. Like I turned it on today and I was playing a couple of, just walking around and just, talking to the normal crew in the tower and stuff like that. And I'm like, this game still looks amazing. But anyway, it is what it is. So the 24th, that's coming up. And there's also, I always forget the name of this. What's the next function that's coming out? Gamescom, right? Stuff. Gamescom stuff that's coming up soon, right? I don't know. I always forget that one for some reason. But that's right around the corner. But we were talking about Idris Elba earlier, and I'm excited about this because Idris Elba as Knuckles in Sonic Movie 2. Daniela, thoughts on that?
Again, he's an ing. First of all, I'm stoked about another Sonic movie. But like Idris Elba in it, like yo, when he put out that tweet, knock knock. I don't know if I was the only one, but I heard that in his voice, and I was like, yes, yes. I just hope they got the formula right, they got the look right. Story's gonna be something else. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I like the Sonic movie. I don't know if it was anybody else or maybe it was just me, but when he tweeted out knock knock, I heard that in his voice and I was just like, yes, this is the movie we need right now. This is exactly what we need. And the thing is, like, I liked the Sonic movie. I did. It wasn't like something super over the top and, you know, there's some part of like little nostalgia factor to it. But I somewhat went into the movie with like a little bit low expectations because of, you know, the backlash that it got, the way that Sonic looked, and then they went out to go back and redo some things and he looked a whole lot better. So I'm really hoping that, they got that all ironed out. They know what the audience wants. They know what they need. So I just really hope that, you know, introducing Idris Elba into it, he's going to be in the next movie. Like, we good now. Like, I didn't think I would ever want Idris Elba in a Sonic movie, but apparently just having that, like, yes, I do.
Yeah.
This is exactly what I want.
He's great. He's great in everything that he's put out. And I really started watching his content from Luther. I think Luther really got me hooked on his acting, and then I started watching other things, and it just seems like after that he was in everything that came out. He had a role, you know, and he's just fantastic. So I really
he's getting the love that he deserves.
Yeah So I really appreciate that. So Knuckles, Sonic Movie 2, Idris Elba, that's pretty exciting. Next thing we have is Death Stranding Director's Cut PS5. Thoughts on that?
Can I get like a free upgrade to that?
I don't know about that.
It would be nice. Just saying.
That would be nice.
I don't know if I'm going to jump back into it. I don't know if I'm going to jump into that, but I think that if you haven't experienced Death Stranding yet, this might be a good place. This might be a good time.
Yeah.
But
how
I
much
don't
is
think
it?
I'm going to rebuy it. Probably your standard.
Standard pricing? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Death Stranding, I'll watch. I like the cutscenes and that game. Cutscenes look amazing, as I'll probably go. So let's talk about this this one. Intel Arc GPUs. I know right now we're currently at the shortage of GPUs, right? We don't even know when we'll see them on the shelves. When they pop up on the shelves, they disappear right away. So Intel is branding its upcoming consumer GPUs as Intel Arc. This new Arc brand will cover both the hardware and software powering Intel's high-end discrete GPUs, as well as multiple hardware generations. The first of those, known previously as DG2, is expected to arrive in the form of codename Alchemist in Q1 2022. Were you surprised by that? Did you were you aware if it was coming out, or thoughts on this?
I wasn't aware. I wasn't paying attention too much into that. I really pay attention to new things that come out for at least PC side as I need them. But I am not surprised, though. I really am not. I'm glad that they're actually paying attention to their more gamer-centric content creators that kind of want, you know, they want the best of both worlds. And introducing this, although I really wish I could be the person who gets to like come up with like codename Alchemist. I don't know. No, I'm not surprised at all. I think they offered like, you know, their little sneak peek of like their graphics and action. They had PUBG, they showcased Psychonauts 2, Metro Exodus. So and it looked pretty good. You know, but you can never really tell until you get your hands on, you get to experience it firsthand, you get to see it in action. But yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. And the competition is going to be AMD and NVIDIA. We don't know about much performance stuff yet, but we need it, right? Because we're at a stage now where we're still having to experience price gouging right now.
And,
yeah, so it's always, so even local to me, whenever I look at the price of a card, whether it's a 3060, 70, or 80, it's almost always $200 to $300 more than the actual price. So even now, I'm on the I'm on a notify list for EVGA's website. And I'm just waiting to get an email from them so I can jump in a queue. But the queue only lasts for 8 hours. So if I'm sleeping, if I get to queue at hour one and I don't see it till hour nine, then you lose the opportunity to buy that particular graphics card. I think super premium users of the EVGA website, they get 24 hours. But outside of that, I'm out of luck if I miss that window, if I get a notification.
See, that's what I did for my card, for my 3080, like early on. That's what I did. I had to wait like 2-3 months before, you know, I got that email with that specific link to buy that one specific one that you wanted. Yeah, and it had an 8-hour window, but it ended up being plenty of time. But then I think I just happened to check my email, or no, I actually got the push notification for the mail address. So I was able to catch it pretty early. It was like the second or third hour of my 8-hour window.
Yeah.
Which really, to me, I think is almost the best way to get it, because you're not being price gouged at all. You're pretty much, if you're planning on buying it, you're pretty much guaranteed that card. You can only buy that one.
Correct.
So I liked that process, and I didn't mind the wait I had to do for it. So I do recommend it.
Yeah, that's probably what I'm going to do, even though I want to buy it at retail, but I'm just going to wait till the website sends me like a notification for it. It also says here, Intel's Arc GPUs will be capable of mesh shading, variable rate shading, video upscaling, and real-time ray tracing. Those sounds like standard things, right? Because they have to compete.
Now they're becoming, now they're going to be some of the standard things and expectations for the gamer, user, consumer.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where I want to know is how is this going to affect like the Bitcoin miners and stuff like that?
Right. So interesting that you bring that point, because even with the 30 series, when that came out, they kind of nerfed the hash rate for the cards, which is why there was a little uproar when the cards first released, because with an update, they kind of like nerfed the hash rate. And the hash rate for, okay, so now we're getting into, now we're getting into that portion of it. So now when you go to like whattomine.com, right? Whattomine.com, when it actually goes to the website, well, hold on, let me see if it Okay, so when you go to What to Mine and you go to the GPU section, the highest hash rate right now, and it should be by default, are the top two, the 3080 Ti and the 3090, right? So the 3080 is about 260, and it actually may be more than a 3090 according to this, and which doesn't make sense. The 3090 is 114. I think it depends on what you're going for, and it gives you the revenue for the 24 hours, right? So now for me, my hash rate, so comparing my hash rate to, let's say, the 3080, which is 260, my hash rate is 22 for my card, right? Versus your card, you have the 3080, yes?
I do.
So so yours is 91, right? So that's like, your card can do so much more. Like if you decided to mine, like, it would be such a breeze for you right now because you have like a top tier card right now. So it does affect what you're mining for sure. But if you're getting a coin that's easily mined, you shouldn't have any issues, right? So I think you're gonna be good. So we'll see. We'll see what it says about the coin when it comes out. Let me see it. I saw in here. It also says Intel is also promising AI accelerated super sampling, which sounds like Intel has its own competitor to NVIDIA's deep learning super sampling DLSS technology. So in there. So we'll link all the article stuff for this and as well as anything else we talk about on the show on this blog post, which will be at the show radio. Now, any other thoughts on this one?
I am just going to wait for when it actually releases to public for purchasing and just see the outrage. That's all I'm expecting from it. I'm happy with my 3080, so I'm not going to be changing or upgrading anytime soon.
All right, so next up we have Scuf Gaming unveils its first controllers designed for Xbox Series X and S. Daniela, thoughts on that?
Of course Scuf is going to come out with the controllers. A little bit sad that the PS5 won, but they got the Xbox one. You know what? All Scuf controllers look sick. It doesn't matter what generation it's for. They're amazing. I mean, here's the hard part. Controllers in itself are expensive. And there's so many different options about who you're going to go through. I mean, Xbox just came out with theirs, like their little customizations. And, you know, you can put in your little logos. We all know that COG can cook. But Scuf, man, Scuf is just, I want to say they're the cream of the crop. I love the way their controllers. I'm still going to say, though, that the C40s, the actual C40s, are still like, for PlayStation-wise, for me, are still the most comfortable. But I love the way that Scuf feels in my hands, especially for the Xbox controllers. So I dig it. I really do.
Yeah. So what's interesting about that, so let me just... go through this a little bit here. Scuf Instinct and Instinct Pro are compatible with Xbox Series X, S, PC, and mobile devices. Both gamepads feature four paddles on the back of the controller. Unlike the other controllers released by Scuf, such as the Prestige Xbox One controller, which also works on Xbox Series X and S, or the Vantage PS4 controller, the paddles on the Instinct and Instinct Pro are smaller, with placement similar to the Xbox Elite and Elite Series 2 controllers. All right. That's the first section there. Both controls offer three different button remapping profiles, wired and wireless connection support, a 3.5mm audio jack, a removable D-pad, that's pretty cool, and interchangeable thumbsticks, that's cool as well. Additionally, both controllers have a removable faceplate, meaning you can change the color of your controller by removing the controller's chassis. Now, the controllers look sick. I agree with you. Everything that they've done thus far in the last maybe two generations, if you want to say that, of controllers that we've seen are pretty dope. Astro still is really, really good. The C40 provides incredible value for the price. During this time that we're in right now, it seems like it's tough to get some of these controllers. I'll definitely be reaching out to these guys at Scuf if I can check out the controller itself, one of them. But as I was saying to you recently, when you look at the D-pad for the Xbox controller, by default, the redesign of this controller versus what I used to use on the original Xbox One, it is night and day, an incredible improvement on the classic controller itself, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize how much they've changed on a controller with the D-pad and all the changes that they've made until I started using the recent, WB Space Jam edition of the controllers. And it's really, really good controller. Now, what's going to determine for me how good it is when I decide to use the controller in PvP. For games like Destiny and stuff like that, I'll really know if I'm really comfortable with my actions versus the C40 controller, if that makes sense.
So I definitely would love to get my hands on either edition. This is what I love about the controllers now, is that you can use them for not just the console. Like, they are compatible with your PC, regardless if you're buying a PlayStation controller or an Xbox controller. So for me, it would be like, you know, with the Xbox Game Cloud now that's there, you got the Ultimate Game Pass. Like, I would be actually attaching this to my PC like that. I would love to get my hands on it, just experience to feel it. Either one, to be honest, because they look fantastic.
Yeah,
and Scuff, you can do, like, does no wrong for me, in my mind. Sometimes, like I think early on, like when Scuff first came out, it was really hard to be convinced to spend that amount of money. But when you finally get one and it's yours, the experience, then it's like in your gameplay, it's night and day. It just makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with that. Yeah, they're doing dope things. So we'll keep a tabs on that. I actually threw in this particular topic that I saw. Facebook Messenger is adding end-to-end encryption for voice and video calls. I know that some individuals are not necessarily paying attention to anything Facebook is doing right now. But I think that the fact that they're considering this took long enough. But the fact that they're actually considering it for voice and video calls, I think is pretty dope. Thoughts on that?
It's great that they're considering it now, or they're implementing it now. I don't actually use Facebook Messenger unless I absolutely have to, and it's like for managing business accounts on Facebook that I'm in charge of. But for personal use, I would love to know who uses Facebook Messenger regularly, to be honest.
Yeah,
I do have one person that like will message me. I don't know. Like, I thought I have it deactivated so it never shows that I'm online or I'm active. But like the random few times that I'm on Facebook, somehow he knows, and somehow it just triggers off like, oh, so-and-so is on. Always sends me a message of hi. I think I should just remove this person because I don't talk to them. I've never responded to them. I always get a message. Hi.
Wow.
A little bit creepy.
That is creepy. Yep. That is creepy for people sliding in your DMs.
And then, I want to say he looks familiar, but I'm like, I cannot pinpoint you right now. We have some friends in common, but I'm like, maybe I should just like quietly back off and remove you. Hope nothing you don't notice.
Yeah. I mean, safety is important. Definitely do what you have to do in that regard, for sure. Protect yourself and stuff like that. So that's a must. So
I don't know. I don't know what to say about it because I don't use the service. I mean, it's good for the people who do. Took them long enough.
I do sometimes. I know we do like, you know, fam chat calls and stuff like that through it. I do believe it still has value. So, you know, we'll see. I think it still has value. So encryption for voice and video calls, that's pretty dope. I think WhatsApp has had it for a while.
I don't even use WhatsApp.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's pretty cool. So that's what's going on with that one. A new emulator lets Xbox Series X and S play PlayStation games at 4K. Thoughts on that?
Not right now, no.
Okay, sweet.
I mean, I think that's kind of cool. The emulator it is. I guess. I mean, something different. It opens it up more for Xbox people.
Right. Yeah. So there's that.
I want to know, does it break any terms of services for modifying?
Yeah. You got to be careful about that. You got to be careful about that. So I think that's usually the thing. Like, I think there was another article that I saw where somebody who had like a Nintendo ROMs website and they try to fight Nintendo about it, and Nintendo's like, they're getting wrecked by Nintendo. You can't fight Nintendo about their games, okay, that you had on an emulator website. That's just, you're not gonna, I don't know, the percentage of you know, you might win.
You could try, but small. You know, I don't know how far you're gonna get.
Exactly. So I think the last order that I saw in that particular report is that they want everything destroyed that they had on the website. So it's like you're gonna have a hard time fighting with Nintendo, you know what I mean? But anyway, that's what's going on with that. The next thing, Call of Duty Verdansk teaser trailer. Definitely check that out if you're big on Call of Duty stuff. I play Call of Duty every year at some point. I always have the last couple of years. So I'm looking forward to seeing what else they're going to be doing there. In that regard, I think they're going back in time, if you will, the World War times or whatever. But I really like what they've done there. But I actually want to move the Battlefield 2042 short film up, because I know you watched that. So let's just jump into the Battlefield 2042 short film. What do you think about that?
Can I just have an entire series of just this?
I would love that.
Like the Exodus short film was, I love what they did. Like, I could have an entire, like, a short run series for just, if it's just built like that, to expand on, you know, whatever story that 2042 is going to be offering. Because that was pretty crazy. And it looked so good. I was really bummed it was only 9 minutes.
Yeah, the part with the kid, though, I was concerned. But they did that just right. They did that just right. You remember that part?
Yeah.
That was, like, crazy.
Yeah.
I was like, no, they did not. No, I know, because you have to get these things, you know, of course, QA'd and all that, you know, make sure you don't offend anybody, right? Nobody gets hurt that's not supposed to get hurt. No animals were sacrificed or anything like that. So all those things that you have to go through. So when I saw that part, I was like, no, they could not have possibly let this fly. And I was just like, okay. All right. So I was like, ooh, that was close. I'm glad it played out the way it did. So there's that. But I would love to see more of that stuff, to really get into the focus and the vibe for whatever game is gonna come out. I think that's really good.
I'm just kind of glad where they went with this little short film. I hope maybe there's like one more that comes along with it, but it's nice to see that Irish Graves Returns is, I don't know if I'll personally be playing 2042 myself, but I would be all for a series, or even just hoping that the cutscenes or whatever can offer the backstories lore for this. Good.
Yeah, I'm going to be running around because I love 1942, so I'm going to be running around at some point in this one for sure. Really, really going back to what I enjoyed about the series. So there's that. Couple of more things and then we'll begin wrapping up. People Can Fly says that Square Enix has yet to pay royalty fees. I was actually surprised by that. And go ahead.
You're going to tell me that they haven't broke even yet to make their money back to start paying them yet?
Isn't that wild?
Like, I don't know. I have a hard time believing that. But then again, you know, I think People Can Fly is being really professional and being really calm about it, because they haven't gotten any information yet about how well their sales did or exact numbers. They're estimating these things.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of surprised. Like, they came out, what, April? Kind of been a bit.
Yeah, I think it did pretty well.
I think it did pretty well. So, like, what's up? What's up, Screen?
Yeah, it's kind of wild just seeing that, right? And the game played well, looked really good, right? Let me just look at some things here. Polish company People Can Fly said that up to 16th of August, it had not received royalties on a sale of the co-op-focused looter shooter from publisher Square Enix. Royalties would be paid to People Can Fly if the net receipts from the sales of Outriders yielded the pre-agreed level of returns for Square Enix on the costs incurred relating to quality assurance, distribution, and marketing. And that's wild. That's wild. Since April? My gosh.
Yeah.
That's
I think
wild.
That's hard to believe. I think they had a pretty good launch. And no, it's weird.
Yeah. I'm sure we'll hear more on that at some point. So we'll see. We'll stay tuned for that. Twitch. Twitch. Twitch, Daniela. Mm. Twitch. What are your thoughts on Twitch, the current state of Twitch right now? What do you got?
Well, you can't exactly cancel Twitch. Let's put it that way. So you got to put them in their place.
Okay.
But all of these things that are being highlighted even more now, it's not like they weren't known. It's not like they weren't seen. It's not like they like people didn't shout it out from the rooftops for like years now. Even more so. And then they're like, come on, Twitch, do better. If you've seen the hashtags for it. That is a frustration with them. Like, they are right now at the forefront. They are like the top streaming platform to be on. If people are looking to get into content creation, Twitch is probably the first place that they're probably thinking of, and they haven't researched into too many other places. But it's nice that there's other services that are available now, like Facebook Gaming, you've got YouTube Gaming, you've got Glimish, that are out there, but they still don't have that glitz and glamour that Twitch has, I guess you could say. But for them to like this half, how do I put this without like being really rude about it? These lame attempts to be like, we want to have an open dialogue and we are going to do better and we're having these conversations. Like, you said that last year. And it's been a while now. You're going to tell me we still have to wait for some moderation tools for several more months to the end of this year. And it's still probably most likely won't do much. And they're going to keep saying that, oh, we're going to be looking to make it better. First of all, from like 10 years ago, when you ban somebody, they shouldn't be able to look at your stuff, period, like at all, ever again. Like, they should just be banned permanently, not just from your chat. That's still a problem. Like, people shouldn't have to create additional commands, use additional tools outside of Twitch to protect themselves, to protect their viewers, to be able to just chill. And I mean, of course, because more people are being more vocal about it, which we should be, and I'm supporting of everybody who has been. But of course, like, trolls are just going to go even harder about it. It's absolutely ridiculous. And whatever Twitch says, I take what they say with a grain of salt until action is actually put into place. Like, I don't care about your nice words until you're actually actively doing something that helps creators, that helps people, that protects people. Other than that, I don't care what you have to say. Do something. That's where I'm at with that.
Yeah, I haven't really been paying attention to it. I did see the hashtags on social media. I did see some individuals recently get hate rated. And I think that's just wild with ecosystem and community. I think Twitch is a great platform. What it offers, it's amazing, right? From community to tools, streaming tools, I should say that, not necessarily moderation, just streaming tools in general. It's a great platform to the great community. And, you know, people have gotten like rich off of this platform, like stupid rich, right? And I think that it gives you the opportunity to create a lot of money and even wealth for your family. So I think that's really dope. But when it comes to the moderation side of things, it seems like they've struggled ever since they, you know, maybe that's being a little unfair, but it seems that way to me that they've been struggling with moderation for a long time. And hopefully at some point we'll get to a place, and not necessarily the end of the year or maybe way before that, that you get to a place where that moderation challenge that you have, you know, it's making a lot of other platforms look even better as an option. I mean, mm-hmm. YouTube has been a good platform to create on, but in terms of building community and how it creates community, it's different than Twitch. Twitch just has those things integrated into the platform in such a beautiful way. So it has so much going for it, but at the same time, this Achilles heel of sorts when it comes to the moderation, I think holds it back from that speaks so much louder.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is, it's like, I hope that people are looking at other platforms. I know a lot of people have like a love-hate thing for Facebook. I mean, Facebook Gaming has been making strides in immense. Their algorithm is absolutely bizarre. I wouldn't even be able to tips on that one. Mm. But like being hate-rated is almost impossible. Like Facebook is very closed off about sharing their API and what's going to be available, which can be a huge limitation for some people. I mean, Facebook does have their own built-in bot. Kind of limited, especially to what's available on Twitch and on Glimish and YouTube Gaming. But, you know, that also limits what people who necessarily harass you. Like people have to really go out of their way to create a Facebook account, which Facebook kind of like just your normal account kind of has some really interesting safeguards for that. Like that prevents like an overuse of creating fake accounts. Can you create one? Yes, but they're so much harder and such a bigger hassle to make that happen compared to the other platforms. And then, you know, you kind of have to use your real name. Like for those, like if you are really, I mean, you can make up a name, sure, but like most people who are jumping on there are using, you know, their actual profile. Like your info is there. I mean, there's guidelines for content creators to not use that against people, obviously, but it definitely deters people from just being overall jerks. So there's that.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully they get it right at some point, but we'll have to see how those things play out.
I feel this is a long process. I want to know who they're talking to about like improving, because as far as I've seen, no content creators on my timeline, retweeted or not, have shown that like, hey, yeah, Twitch is in, you know, chins with me on this, on improving the platform. Like they have so many ambassadors, but so many of them have said, yeah, Twitch has never, you know, reached out to ask for my opinion about what could be better. What's the point of having ambassadors? And I'm like, I'm happy those people have that title and they get to be a part of it. But you have a great abundant resource of content creators who are very passionate about what they do, who are great at what they do. Why didn't you start reaching out to them the several years ago that you introduced this ambassador program?
Yeah, that would make sense. But I don't know. It's just some things seem so disconnected. It's like the teams are not necessarily talking to one another. It just looks that way. I don't know how it runs, right? But it just seems that way when you're looking at how things are being presented to us.
It's just a mess.
Yeah. I hope they figure it out. Really, really soon. So, two more things and then we'll start wrapping up. Xbox Series X's dashboard is running at a higher resolution as part of a new update. I think it's 4K now, for that kind of thing. Any thoughts on that?
Yay.
Yeah, right.
The dashboard. How often dashboard?
Yeah, I think, you know, I really like the improvements that they've been doing on a dashboard though. So, I think that's really dope. The fact that they're constantly making sure that it runs the way it's supposed to run. Let me just see what it says here. Let me see. High resolution for Xbox Series X. Detail and the notes here. The new system update now offers the features to increase the Series X's dashboard when the console is connected to a 4K monitor or TV. This change means home, guide, and other areas of the UI will be displayed at a higher native resolution for increased sharpness and text readability. That's pretty dope. So yeah, I mean, like you said, yay, that's dope. And the fact that they're making changes and improvements, I think that's always dope. Cool beans. But last but not least, Phil Spencer has been testing Stream Deck and says Xbox games work well. And this is good news because we've both very recently, well, me more recently than you, have put down the $5 to hold a reservation for this Steam Deck, which I think is going to be a game changer in so many ways. There's going to be a whole bunch of emulators that's going to come out for it. I think there's going to be so much done with this unit years to come, right? It's going to be the best thing that we've seen in a long time. So this particular post talks about Phil Spencer enjoying the unit. Thoughts on that? I mean, how are you feeling about the Steam Deck right now? I know it's still early, you know, moving into the months before we start really getting the marketing. How are you feeling about it now?
I still feel pretty good. My thoughts haven't changed on it. I'm still like I didn't cancel my pre-order. I'm giving myself some time to save up money for it. But still, my only thought is like the weak battery life. I don't know about that 3 to 8 hours, but with Phil Spencer trying it out, saying it works well, you know, that Xbox Game Cloud, I'm telling you, it's just going to definitely be on there for everybody, I feel. Smart move.
Yeah, it's definitely a game changer. So based on the conversation that was had in this particular post, talks about the gaming on the go, the screen size, the controls. Phil Spencer really appreciated that. Playing Halo and Age, I guess I'm assuming that's Age of Empires, feels good. xCloud works well. And he congratulated the Steam Deck team. So yeah, so that's dope stuff. I think I'm pretty excited about that. Last but not least, I kind of posted something about this earlier. So Astro has their new bags out. They have the BP35, and then they have the CO3. I just want to make sure I'm saying that correctly. But it's definitely a smaller bag, but definitely feels more durable in terms of how it was constructed. So the BP35 and the CSO3, the cross sling is a CSO3. The BP35 is the actual backpack. I took some pictures of it earlier today. Posted it on my Twitter. You can find me at Uriah, URIYYA. If you want to follow Daniela, you can find her at Miss DJM and her adventures for sure. I wanted to plug that in for both of us there. So yeah, sling is dope. The backpack is dope. And the reason I brought up that is because the CSO3 may have the ability to fit the Steam Deck unit. So they didn't fully say it could or couldn't. It definitely fits the Nintendo Switch. But if the Switch is a little bit smaller than that particular unit, but I think there's enough space in there, it sounds like that the Steam Deck will be able to fit in there, no problem. So that's little rumors here and there, but it sounds like it could be promising for those who get handhelds as going to be, you know, bigger in size. I don't know if Neo Geo is working on anything. That'd be cool to see if they are. But at this point, Steam Deck is going to cover anything PC related. And it would be a miracle if Nintendo decides to put games on that thing, because that would change everything, which they probably won't do that. So,
all right. So the backpack, I like the body sling one. So 3, but I'm all about the BP3 100%. Like that gaming backpack. I love my, I guess it's now the OG Astro Scout backpack. I love that so much. Thank you so much, Astro, for sending me that bag and the duffel bag. So this is like a must, an absolute must to add to like my travel bags.
Yeah, you gotta add it on there. The material feels lighter. It's a collaboration with Timbuktu, based out of San Francisco. They've been making stuff ever since 1989 or something like that. They've been around for a long time, Timbuktu. So the collaboration with them and Astro, I guess, seems fitting if you've followed both of their histories for a long time. I was recently introduced to Timbuktu and everything that they're doing. So I think it's pretty dope, pretty amazing materials, pretty amazing design, of course. Of course, Astro has always been good with their designs, as far as I can remember. So, definitely a good pickup.
Say, I gotta plug it. You're gonna pick up one. Well, okay, so the backpack itself, the gaming backpack, is $199.99. And the body sling is $79.99. So is it Astro.family, Miss EJM? Ever so kindly? Yes, that's an affiliate link.
Yeah, it's an affiliate link. Yeah, definitely use Ms. EJM's affiliate link for that, for sure. For the BP35SO3. That released on the 17th of August. So it's brand new. And definitely check that out. Anything we left out? Anything you want to share before we wrap up?
No, that's everything.
Okay. All right. Cool. So guys, thank you for listening.
We made it to the end, though.
Oh, we did. I have to go back and just double check, you know, some things. I don't think it's as bad as I think it is, but I have to figure out where the pauses were and stops, and then just kind of clean that up a little bit. I could find them, but yeah, so that's the thing. You never know what happens when you're recording certain, you know, shows. Some days are going to be perfect, some days are not going to be, but yeah, we made it to the end. I'm excited about that. Definitely check out the Discord. You can go to andrew-alliance.com. as I mentioned earlier, when it comes to the crypto stuff, I do have my journal that I've been keeping ever since I got back into the game in May. So if you head to andrew-alliance.com, my journal is in there. That is free to you, from pretty much financial literacy all the way to mining cryptocurrency. I currently do mine right now. So just mentioning that real quick, I mine a coin called Raven Coin. It's really good. And I think based on the way it's set up now, as soon as it reaches 50 coins, it pushes automatically to my wallet. So it's pretty much on autopilot as soon as I start mining, which is pretty cool. So definitely check that out. Also, make sure you follow Daniela and Miss DJM. Once again, that's Miss DJM. And that's all I have. Daniela, any final words?
Thank you guys for listening to episode 591. I will see you guys on the next episode.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.